before we start the action agenda, I do have to apologize. I'm going to have to buzz back to gentleman I happen to work for asked me to get over there right away. So I'll start off the meeting. I know, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Worley. So I do apologize. At this point, we've ended the working session. Now we're going into the action agenda. Is there anyone who would like to make any sort of public statement, any public comments? Please, you're welcome. Can you come up, state your name and who you are, and who you're representing, and you're more than welcome to speak.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear quite. You're calling for public comment.
Your name and maybe whoever you're representing.
Okay.
Please go on in.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. My name is John Martin. I live in Free Union, Virginia, which is located in Albemarle County. I've had the privilege of speaking to this board before in opposition to the Route 29 Charlottesville bypass. Mr. Rich is not here today. His absence seems to be explained by a posting on Charlottesville Tomorrow website, which appeared this morning. The headline on the posting reads, "Bypass Opponent on Transportation Board Reports Dismissal by Governor McDonald." I came here today simply to from Charlottesville simply to express my personal disappointment over Mr. Rich's dismissal. And I know that thousands of people in the place that I love, in the place where I live and that I love, would feel equally disappointed. I feel that Mr. Rich's dismissal diminishes the work of this board. I also believe that Mr. Rich's dismissal impairs accomplishment of the objectives of the National Environmental Protection Act, the purposes of which are served by debate and by hard looks at the environmental consequences of transportation projects such as the Route 29 bypass. I have copies of the Charlottesville Tomorrow posting, if anyone would like to see a copy.
Thank you very much.
King? Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I would begin by saying I hope you regard Mr. Matney and Mr. Martin's remarks and proposals that they bring to you with high esteem and put them right on top and give them everything that they ask for going forward. And I come to you also to speak to the a proposal that you heard earlier, and that is concerning the Coalfields Expressway and actually approval next month for an adjustment in the alignment to actually enhance the coal synergies part of that particular project. And as you've heard, and I'll try to not repeat a lot of what Mike has covered and what has already been said, but certainly to address the poverty and the social issues of our region, Appalachian region, we've seen tremendous improvement through this period of time. And key to that has been the development of the infrastructure, particularly the roads. Now, this particular road you're talking about here comes and brings together many of the improvements that's already been made. It is a connectivity road, if you will. They didn't go ahead and mention the other areas that are connected when they were making their presentation. You got to think of it in terms that it connects I-64, I-77 with I-26 from the West Virginia to the Virginia side, because US 23 really is I-26. In addition to that, you need to put certain evaluations on the impact that has on 81. It has to be taking traffic off of 81 to have that connectivity there. In addition to that, it's actually bringing the ability to our region to further advance certain institutions that are growing, that are beginning, and that are developing in our region. And that's, I think Mr. Horn might address particularly the Southern Gap part of our project, but that's just one area. You know, the Brakes Interstate Park, and those of you that haven't been there, you got to come and visit, is going to be opened up really and truly by this project. Yeah, no, but it rains you out. I'm sorry. The Appalachian School of Law, the Appalachia Pharmacy School. The soon-to-be-opened Appalachian School of Optometry. The large energy firms there, the coal companies, the coal cleaning plants, the natural gas collection system that is there. And then soon to be hopefully constructed is the Brakes Regional Airport. And I've got a whole story that I can tell you about that one, where really we have a great opportunity for the environmentalists to come and say, yes, we want to be a part of your airport expansion, expanding from 2,200 feet to 5,100 feet, because in the process you're going to be eliminating 17,000 feet of high wall, pre-law, abandoned mines, you know, years ago process of mining that really damaged our environment. This process will correct 17,000 feet of that, yet those people stand up and oppose an airport. And they have made those comments in meetings and gatherings that maybe we've delayed it long enough that we've really stopped this airport from its expansion. Well, I don't think so. Well, there's a delay that gives us some hurdles, but we are still working to that end. So I want to come and speak to you, and I thank you for hearing me, but I wanted to ask you on next month's agenda to advance the proposal to that small alignment, which is simply to enhance the synergies of that project, actually cuts our cost overall, because the more of that coal they can recover, the less our cost is going to be. Let me thank you, and did have a brief conversation with Jim Bowie, and he said he sends his regards.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Hugh Keough. I live in Midlothian, Virginia. In the way of credentials, I am the president emeritus of the Virginia Chamber of Commerce, having retired from that position 2 years ago, and also a former director of economic development for the Commonwealth in the late 80s and early 90s. I came here today to acquaint you very briefly with an initiative undertaken by the Commonwealth Center for Advanced Manufacturing and by the Virginia Tobacco Commission that ultimately will be in support of the development of the Coalfield Expressway. CCAM has put some money together to do advanced manufacturing economic development recruitment in the Tobacco Commission footprint. Last week, I spent 3 days in the Deep Southwest with the Director of Economic Development, who is a Britisher, who will work the European continent to bring prospects to the Tobacco Commission footprint for advanced manufacturing. There are two critical components to making that initiative work. The first of those is workforce development, to assure the employer that he or she can get the skilled people that they need to be successful. And secondly, the transportation component, to assure access and egress to the footprint of the Tobacco Commission. And by far the most difficult target to do that is the Coalfield region. I spent 3 days there last week, meeting with people, introducing our British Economic Development Director to the economic development players in the region and the workforce development players in the region. And I think there is a new, renewed sense of urgency to make this initiative work. But the missing ingredient is the transportation initiative. And so I would urge you at your meeting next month to approve the Coalfield Expressway and to add another arrow in the quiver to our friends in Southwest Virginia. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I'm Mark Kilduff. I live in New Kent County. I'm the retired executive director of the Virginia Economic Development Partnership. I've worked for that organization, predecessor organizations, for over 40 years. I'm also a founding director of the Coalfield Economic Development Authority, and I have very high regard for that region. My message is very simple and short. I encourage you to continue with the long progress that has been made and move forward the development and construction of the Coalfield Expressway. Economic development in the region has long been challenged by the area's difficult topography and access. Now, while there are multiple factors critical to economic development, transportation is clearly very near the top of that list. If a business finds it time-consuming, more expensive, and uncertain to move goods, services, supplies, and employees, they will certainly choose other areas for their investment, tax revenue creation, and jobs. This has been Southwest Virginia's challenge since my first introduction to the area in 1967, And while progress has been made, the region still lacks the transportation infrastructure to be consistently competitive for economic growth. I fully understand there are demands on you for infrastructure improvements in all areas of our Commonwealth. However, the point I wish to make is that adequate transportation infrastructure is just as important to the economic well-being as the coal fields as it is to Northern Virginia, Richmond, and Hampton Roads. Just because the region is removed from the mega corridor of Eastern Virginia doesn't lessen its need for good roads, which are critical for the economic growth so desperately needed in the region. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, board members, I'm Craig Horn. I'm 22 years. I was executive director, and still am, executive director of the IDA for Buchanan County, where most of these projects are going on, and parts of them anyway. I'm now the county administrator for just about a year, and that's been very exciting. I understand these board meetings a little bit better than I used to. But I'm here to support and tell you that the entire Board of Supervisors and the entire Board of the IDA in Buchanan County supports the changes that are proposed on Section 1 and 2 of the Coalfields Expressway. This is not a project that grew from industry. This is not a project that grew from outside Buchanan, Dixon, Wise counties. Actually, this project grew starting about 18 years ago at a meeting of this board in Abingdon, because we learned of some money that was available through the IST legislation. So we want you all to know we support it. We have counted on it. We've invested our local money into property. I don't like to talk about numbers a lot, but we can say we've got about $25 million we've invested in the Southern Gap, which is a mixed-use site development for residential, commercial, and industrial. Before we did that, our largest industrial property was about five acres, and we spent huge amounts of money just to develop that small property so we could say we had a property to market. Since this project came along and since we were encouraged that this could happen, we bought 3,200 acres. We've developed it. We've got most, probably 50% of it has utilities, has broadband, internet. It has a water sewer, and right now we're developing a road into it on the eastern side. 460 connector, which was mentioned earlier today, phase two, coming out of Kentucky, will bring 460 onto that property. So we'll have about 1,100 to 1,200 acres of usable land that we can use for economic development. So we've put our money on the table and spent most of it now. We hope that you all will continue to do what you said you would do for the last probably 5 or 6 years and make the change that's needed to allow the Coalfield Expressway to go on. Thank you. Yes, sir. Just a change.
And how big a lot of change are you talking about?
That may be a mic question, but my understanding is just it shifts it over a little bit.
There is just a slight change, and it's got to follow the seam of the coal, and that's the purpose of it, is they can river the coal by moving it over. The other part of this, the reason you're seeing this support swelling up for it, because we are hearing and we see this outside effort to come and try to kill it. You know, you saw the 42 environmental. Yeah, that's just exactly what it is.
When we were down your way, y'all briefed us on this. Didn't you show us the...
Yes. You've, at one point, they have flown across parts of this organization. Right. But we had a small briefing in Abingdon because we couldn't fly over it.
And y'all showed us it. This is just minor.
That's right.
You have. Very far along in the project.
And we're pretty sensitive to issues of criticism, and there's getting that criticism beginning to swell that this project needs to be dumped. And so we're going to get up in arms every time that happens, and we'll be back if that happens.
Mr. Chair, but I understand, though, that the realignment is still within the EIS that's been established. Is that right? I'm sorry, my question is, I understand that the change in the corridor is still within the same EIS area that's been approved by...
All of the changes are within the original study area, that yellow shading that I showed you.
Right.
There are some alignment shifts that are outside of the approved corridor. So we have an approval for alternative F1, so some of the alignment shifts move outside. And part of the location study process is that you have to receive approvals for those shifts that are outside of that approved corridor. But it's all within the area that we studied in the EIS originally, yes.
Okay, those are small areas, though, is that right?
I think the maximum change is 2 to 3 miles difference between the two alignments, and that's in Section 2.
Right. So you do have to have a new EIS study?
No.
You
no, sir.
Have have
that's
it.
Done.
Okay. That was my question. So you
got
it.
Do you have any exhibits you could provide for us as far as the new alignment?
Yes, sir. I actually did bring with me handouts. These were the same handouts that were provided to the public last year. And I can leave these for you. It shows some exhibits of the two sections.
Maybe we need another trip, Mr. Chairman. Took a nice sunny day.
Yeah. All right, we're
going to be in Lynchburg for a while.
Next picture.
We'll be happy to be the voice opposed. My name is Nathan Jenkins, and I speak for Appalachian Voices, and this is my colleague Whitney Bird, who also speaks for a coalition of environmental groups. I would say to your question that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency actually in the VDOT presentation said that they lack sufficient detail to adequately analyze impacts. So all we're asking for really is a full EIS of this new route, and it does significantly change what would happen. There's going to be 7 more miles of streams as opposed to, so actually they say 8 more miles. So it would be 12 miles as opposed to 4 miles. And also there would be some 1,200 more acres of ridgetop woodland that would also be taken out that was not in the original proposal. And I think it's also important to note that since the original EIS, there have been significant changes in what we understand about mountaintop removal mining and how it affects the people downstream and in the low-lying areas, especially with selenium poisoning, which has seemed to contribute to Patriot's promise to stop MTR mining. So for us, we would be very happy if an EIS said that there is no significant change. I could argue with other points, but basically we just want a full EIS on the new alignment with the new information that we have.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name and who you.
Sorry, yeah, I'm Nathan Jenkins, and I'm with Appalachian Voices.
I'm sorry, thank you.
And Whitney, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, so I represent a coalition of groups, including Appalachian Voices, and also Sierra Club, the Southern Environmental Law Center, Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards, which is a community organization located in Wise County, and the Chesapeake Climate Action Network. And my comments today represent the coalition and are also backed by over 4,000 Virginians, and our taxpayer dollars are a part of this project. So we feel that they have a voice in how those are spent. And also a total of over 85,000 people from the region have also commented in opposition to the current design for the Coalfields Expressway. Those comments have been sent to the Virginia Department of Transportation and also the Federal Highway Administration. We continue to hear concerns from people of Southwest Virginia over how the Coalfields Expressway will affect local business and water quality. You heard about concerns coming from Pound, Virginia, that they will be bypassed by this Coalfields Expressway. So we've heard that many concerns from many others that this route will bypass many towns in Southwest Virginia by several miles in favor of a route that is clearly designed to maximize access to coal reserves. So instead of connecting these economic town centers and benefiting local businesses, the Coalfields Expressway is now effectively designed to subsidize coal extraction with taxpayer dollars. So We've also heard concerns from residents of Southwest Virginia over the use of eminent domain, displacing folks from their land, land that they have lived on for generations. And we feel that those are significant concerns that you all should consider. And we also have many serious concerns with the environmental and public health impacts of the Coalfields Expressway, particularly with the increase in mountaintop removal mining activity associated with this project. So mountaintop removal mining is under increased regulatory scrutiny, as my colleague mentioned, because of findings, and these are peer-reviewed studies, several peer-reviewed studies of increased incidence of cancer and birth defects in communities near these mining operations. And this Coalfields Expressway will increase access to coal reserves in the region and increase mountaintop removal mining activity. We are concerned by the possibility that the private partner for the Coalfields Expressway will be granted permitting exemptions for coal mining operations associated with this Coalfields Expressway. And our general concerns with the new alignment include the widening of the right-of-way to nearly half a mile in some areas, burying an estimated 12 miles of streams and destructive valley fills. So, like my colleague said, we just asked for a supplemental environmental impact statement to be done on this new alignment now that the route has been redesigned. We feel that these concerns are serious and numerous and enough to warrant further investigation into those impacts. And we also feel that VDOT should reconsider more sustainable transportation options for the region, including public transportation development and advancement of existing transportation routes. So I'm sorry if there is too much repetition, but I just thank you all for hearing our comments today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Last question. I mean, we received all the... Our vote today is not predicated on getting any more approvals or environmental or anything.
It'll be on February.
Yep.
Chairman, I'm Bob Chase with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance, and I will be brief because I know you guys got a lot of hours late and you got a lot to do. I would just like to commend Mr. Lane, Mr. Grzynski, the other people in this board in general for the work on the V-Trans 2035 update, and as well as the work of some previous members of this board, Mr. Coulomet, Dr. Davis, and others. I mean, I think this is a giant leap forward in terms of we're finally moving from seemingly spending endless years trying to identify as many possible options to get to do the same thing, to getting the focus where we need to have it, and that is on performance and getting the best options, not only to provide the best mobility, but to provide the best investment and the best return for the taxpayer and start to build confidence that if we provide new money, we've got a system in place, mechanisms in place to make sure this is well spent. But the reality here is when you look at the goals here in terms of great, you know, state of good repair and regional connectivity, statewide mobility, environmental stewardship, all of those require more resources. None of those goals are going to be achieved if all we have is the resources that we have. So all the creative thinking and outside the box and business practices really aren't going to help unless the men and women up the street produce some serious new sustainable funding. So I would like to commend you for the work. Also, the corridors of statewide significance. That's a tremendous step forward. The need for the north-south corridor is well documented. But again, without the resources, we're going to go through all the planning steps, and we're going to start losing major opportunities. And as the governor said, we're going to start losing jobs. So anyway, thank you very much for the good work on this performance-based plan. We need to keep working, but again, we need to keep reminding the people up the street that none of this happens without their help. So thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Is there anyone else that would care to speak? Okay, the next agenda item is approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And it's approved. The first action item is the base realignment and closure. Mr. Tom Farney.
Thank you, Commissioner, members of the board. This is the 12th and final BRAC road improvement agreement that will be brought before the CTB. And before I get into the specifics of this one, I just want to thank and congratulate the CTB over the last 5 years for the support you've given the BRAC program. You have funded and or approved agreements for over $600 million worth of road improvements, which include about about $250 million worth of Department of Defense funding for road improvements that help mitigate the BRAC movements that occurred due to the 2005 legislation. So again, thanks for the support. This particular agreement is relatively simple. It's $4 million of Department of Defense funding for intersection improvements in Stafford County at US 1 and Telegraph Road. Federal Highway Administration will administer the project. VDOT will assist in right-of-way acquisition. We'll approve plans and then maintain the final product. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Secretary, I move to approve a resolution. Mr. Farney was kind enough, along with Northern Virginia District Engineer, to go over this request with Ms. Fisher and I last week, and money is being provided by the Department of Defense. And like Tom said, this is the last one, I think.
Correct, the last
one. So I make the motion.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a second in discussion. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
I have approved local assistance, Jennifer DeBrule, action revenue sharing deallocation.
Yes, this is the action item that I discussed earlier. We've identified 64 projects totaling a little over $4.4 million. Where we're recommending the funds be deallocated and returned to the statewide revenue sharing account for redistribution.
Move adoption.
Second.
Okay, there was a second in discussion.
So, I'm all the ones you said I heard nothing. I don't know if anybody else did. I got this letter and I didn't hear a word.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, those opposed?
Thank you.
Next, Maintenance Division, action on the naming of bridge on US 58 over
Little Creek. Mr. Chairman, the item is pretty straightforward. It is, as you have said, commemorative bridge naming in Carroll County. The request has followed our processes, and we do have resolutions from both the Town of Hillsville and Carroll County in support of it.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, rail public transaction on rail industrial access. Kevin Page.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to say this is 30 days later, but since this was already advertised for on the agenda, it was a snafu on our behalf. We sent it over for Ms. Mathis to put on. I've checked with the Secretary and also with Board Member Cole to go ahead with the action item as it stands today.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Second.
All right, in discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Miller, aye.
Those opposed? Opposed. All right, item is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Programming Division, Diane Mitchell.
Good afternoon. I have your presenting the transfers for the 13 through 18 program for November 1st through December 20th, mainly moving project money from funds on projects where they're not needed because they're surplus or closed out to other projects that can use them or to balance entries. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Move for action. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Just throw it back.
I can give you a vote question.
I'm sorry.
Especially since Gibson Road. We are moving, according to our mission here, we're moving $1 million off the Interstate 64, exit 91,
Yes, that is transferring to some ARA projects that are currently underway that need some funding to continue those.
My understanding with the correspondence was that we still have probably $7 million left of that money that we had left over from the project.
I'd have to look at that specifically, sir.
My only concern is to make sure we can put that on another project and we have moved on.
We try to use them in the same district, but with interstate money, it is statewide, and we try to effectively use our money where it can immediately be used or spent. And with the ARA funds, that's why it was moved, the ARA projects, that's why we moved into the Hampton Roads districts. But if there are priorities that you have in your area where we would need to look to. Yeah, and see, that one's not fully funded yet, so that's why we looked at moving the money to the ARA funds. But we do have that project on our list for the update of something to look at for funding, so we have noted that.
Okay, further discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Right, transfer is approved. Right-of-way division, Richard Bennett.
Yes, sir. Line item number 6 is a request for a limited access change. It's project related to the improvements of Edward Ferry Road and Route 15 in Leesburg.
Move. Second. All right, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Chairman, I'm requesting that line item number 7 be carried over to the February meeting, as we've had an issue come up prior to this meeting. Line item number 8 is a request of the board to approve the transference of the old Warrenton residency over to the state police. They have been using this facility under lease arrangements for approximately 20 years, and we'd like to go ahead and turn it over to them permanently.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Scheduling a contract, Mark Kamen.
Yep. Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, I'm seeking approval for 3 contracts. Virginia Capital Trails, a project in Nova, and a TAMS contract.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask my colleagues to allow me to make this motion. It includes a TAMS contract of 64,264, 3 times, but twice in the last week, one on my way to the governor's speech, and one when I was picking up Mr. Lane, and yesterday, I obliterated tires on my car in potholes on this stretch of highway. So 3 times since October, twice in the last week, I've lost a tire in potholes that this will theoretically address. If it doesn't address it, we're going to be having another discussion. So I make the motion to approve this action.
I'll second.
That motion was that for all. But I was specifically speaking to the TAMS, the TME TAMS contract.
I just want to, I did some research as to how this is working. We compete against ourselves. I just want to make sure, I know we're looking for the lowest cost, but we are getting what we are, it's the lowest cost doesn't get us the minimum that we need.
Make sure it's done right.
Yeah, done right, because I was told that our bid internally was somewhere around $50 million, and this is $34 million. Now, maybe we're that inefficient, but I just want to make sure that the scope of it is really going to take care of the road. And so I'm going to second it, and I just would like for you to follow up on that, because I understand what's supposed to happen is the VDOT's supposed to, if you fill a pothole, it's supposed to go out and be checked. I can second what Mr. Miller said. Looks like I did some of those potholes. I mean, because they're just not done correctly. So I just want to point that out, it's so many of them. It's not like one can't avoid them.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yes, I made this comment before, too, because I'd have almost run off the road trying to avoid potholes, or when you hit one, you're almost literally bouncing off the road, so I'm in total support of what Mr. Miller has mentioned.
I will definitely check into this, but the terms of the low bid contract, it is also based upon performance.
Okay.
They clearly have performance measures within each one of those contracts that they are to meet. In addition to that, we have monitors. VDOT has monitors that we put out to go in and make certain that they're performing the way that the contract lays out. So I will definitely check on that.
We need to spend 36, 34. That's, I'm always suggesting, I don't want to spend a nickel more, but I'm just saying there's no sense spending some money if
the issue on costs. We are have on a number of occasions, this is something that I started. We have created this process called TAMS, Turnkey Asset Management Process. It started about 6 years ago, and that's where we went out to the private sector and bundled all of this work together and let them bid on this work. And there's basically an industry that has performed around this. It's also being done in Florida and in other states. As we learned more about this process, I wanted to make certain that we were getting the best deal. And some of my staff asked if they could compete against the private sector. They wanted to submit a bid. And I said, yes, as long as you follow the same rules that the private sector has to follow. We did that. We've lost some bids. We won some bids. In this case, our bid price was substantially higher than what the bid came in for the private sector. I wouldn't take that bid itself and say,
apples and apples.
Yeah, because I'm not certain that was the best bid, because we had taken our interstate people and moved them away from the interstate, so we had to re-gear, reform ourselves, reorganize ourselves to perform that work. So included in our bid was a lot of setup costs, which made the price a lot higher. So I wouldn't really look at those two costs and say, you know, that was the lowest. The other bids that came in from the other private sector companies were comparable to the lowest bid.
Okay. I've just seen, I've witnessed two of Mr. Miller's fires in my home, so it is getting worse.
I have one other item. The board.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we have to vote on
that. Oh, I'm sorry.
So we had a motion, second discussion, and a further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
I have one other item. The board passed a resolution on October 17th giving the commissioner authority to award a design build project. He has done that, and the resolution requires that the board affirm that action. So I'm seeking your affirmation of the award of the I-66 IATM project, design build project.
So what was the, how much was that?
I think it was $22 million, let's see.
Got it here.
Yes, that was within the
parameters. So
there's a motion and a second and a discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Thank you very much. So we are down to new business. And Richard Bennett, we have limited access on the Greenway or Dulles Greenway.
Yes, sir. I was bringing this up here. This is on the Dulles Greenway. It's a proposal to add a ramp to exit off into an area of development. The design and safety aspects of that ramp has been reviewed by the department and make a recommendation that it can be done in a safe manner. The resolution is conditioned because there are certain aspects of our normal checklist for reviewing these things that have not been completed. So we're asking at this time that it be considered by y'all with the condition that the commissioner determines that those additional four aspects are satisfactorily satisfied.
Commissioner, I would so move, and also in inform the board that our new chief engineer, Garrett Moore, formerly of the Northern Virginia District, did review this with me and assured me that those conditions would be met and he was okay with this motion.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item approved. Mr. Darzanski, do you?
Yes, under new business, I would like to resolve on behalf of the entire Commonwealth Transportation Board, and this be directed to the members of the General Assembly, both in the Senate and the House of Delegates, that, and the whereas is, I think we can give you, you know, the crossing of the maintenance, the need for construction, economic opportunity, right down the list, that we petition the General Assembly to support a concrete plan for transportation that secures funding so the Commonwealth Transportation Board can do its job. And hopefully we have the unanimous consent of this board to get that over to through the governor's office, but to the assembly, that we're ready to take a stand. We've talked about it enough. We all know the problems. There may be one or two particular things about the governor's package that somebody, you know, on this board wants to talk about, but we need action on a comprehensive plan, and now's not the time to nitpick. So I would make that a resolution. We could finalize the wording on, but that is the spirit of my resolution. It does not come from me. It does not come from Hollis. It comes from all of us. We are the patrons of this resolution.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Discussion? So that's a resolution that you kind of want me to help craft on behalf.
We'll craft it with your help. But I think all of us can give whereas, you know, to the now therefore.
Just send it out so everybody sees it.
Right.
Okay. So there's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution will be approved and it will be done. I will work with you in getting that done and circulating around to the board.
If anybody has particular whereas they want, email the commissioner and we'll make sure they get included.
Is there any other new business to come before the board? Okay. With that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
All right. Nice work.